Sunday morning, 3:9:25. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is taking your seat, just like the song that was just sang. The Lord has been speaking to us, you know, over a period of a couple of years. We call them visitations. We're walking out of the fire, out of the testing, out of the wilderness experience, and into the glory. That's what the Holy Spirit has said to us. This is the part we're in. We've gone through the testing in the wilderness, as you will, like Jesus. Let me read that again. He's been speaking to us through these visitations that we're walking out of the fire, out of the testing, out of the wilderness experience, into the glory. Her third heaven authority is the rightful seat of the church. We are seated with Him. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. Hebrews 1:3. The Lord said, everything that I've said to you in these visitations, I'm good for it. My word's good. Believe my word. Believe I will do what I say I will do. Now, if you put time on it, limits on it, that's your problem. But God doesn't. So we just have to take it the way it is. His timing's different than ours. All right, 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Just like the previous word said, the biggest threat to the enemy is the word. That's why the parable of the sower says He comes to steal the word. Okay, Hebrews 10:12. Because His narrative is what has polluted the world. 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Okay. We're just looking at scriptures where this is applied. This is Revelation 4. This is the throne room John saw, verse 4 of 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. 10, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. Okay, go back to Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm with Him. I despise it too. I despise the shame, but we're seated with Him. The wilderness experience is a time when you are being allowed to be tempted by the devil, and the Lord has seen whether you will stay in it or jump out of it. Kind of like the being in the frying pan. Think about that. That's the truth. Your faith is being tested to see if you'll be one of those that when the fire gets hot, you'll stick to your position and not break the line, or you'll run. We've all run. But He's testing our quality to see if we will stay put and hold the line, hold our position, keep our seats. One of the visitation talks about the church rising out because the church has lost its seat. Satan's seat is in the church. I'm talking the known religious system right now. And so it talks about when we begin as the church as apostolic Christianity is reestablished and people begin to hear, they start rising to take their third heaven authority, they're going to run into turbulence because they've allowed the devil to take their seat. The upper atmosphere is filled. I'll tell it again about Mike Thompson. The Lord showed him a revelation of heaven, third heaven authority. He went to heaven and he was looking down. He saw all these dim-looking lights, and they asked the Lord what they were, and he said, well, those are the strongholds of the enemy. Between where they were, right here. And he spoke some words, and these angels went down and took out these strongholds. But immediately, strongholds would rise up, because he said, why? Why did this happen? I took those out. What's happening? The mouths of men, the negativity in the mouths of men rebuilds the strongholds faster than they can take them out. And this word says that when we break through all of this, we'll be in our seat and there won't be any turbulence anymore. It's like an airliner going, passing through a storm, getting above the clouds, climbing through the turbulence. We've all been on an aircraft when it was that way. I can remember one time we must have buzzed the tower 20 times because it was a storm. Just trying to get clearance to come in because of the storm. So this is what the body of Christ will experience, because they've lost their seat. They got to find their seat, take their seat. All right, Revelation 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This is the rightful seating of the church. All right, now go to Ephesians 2. Just think how wonderful it's going to be when new believers are taught the real gospel of the kingdom and they don't have to go through all we've gone through. We inherited a mess. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. These are those strongholds I'm telling you about. They're not in heaven. They're what they call maybe the second heaven, I guess. Even the upper atmosphere. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. How have these strongholds been able to be built up? Because men have spoken Satan's word. Men have done Satan's will, even the church. Satan's infiltrated the church. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How many people do you know that are really concerned about the kingdom of God and the things of God? Do you know anybody? I mean, really, they may have their own little relationship with God, but it's mainly getting their needs met. It's not about affecting the kingdom. It's not taking out the darkness. It's me and mine. Do y'all know anybody? Anybody? Now we know why we're in the mess we're in. Nobody's willing to pay the price. The buffeting of the enemy is to keep you grounded and out of your seat of authority. There's a scripture that says the demons, it's about they're afraid of you and they're trembling. Where is that? Do you know where that is?
James, the devils also believe in trembling.
Where, James, where?
Chapter 4.
All right. I mean, he's got his bluff in, thinking he's big, bad, and ugly, just beat up on us all the time, anytime he wants. It's 2, not 4. What verse?
19.
Okay, thank you. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Why do they act the way they do? Because they're the ones that are really afraid. Like I said in the beginning, the real threat is the Word of God. That's Satan's biggest threat. I'm going to read that. Let's go over here to Mark 4. His number one goal is to steal the Word. When a church has adapted doctrines of men, they have let go of the Word. Right here, 14 and 15. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Just like the word the Lord gave me this morning. You're right on about the parable of the sower is about the harvest. It's not about just getting things, you faith people. Well, I want a new car, a new boat, summer house. You know, the times we live in, those things are nice. And if God gives them to you, great. But if you're seeking that as a Christian, you're seeking the wrong thing. You know, seeking first the kingdom. How about you? Aren't you ready for some help? I'm ready for help. I'm ready for some help. I'm ready for some serious Christians that want to say, okay, I'm going to help, but join with you, and we're going to take this land back from the hand of the enemy. It's no different than the children of Israel going into the promised land, and only 2 out of a whole nation are even willing. They're the only ones that believe him. Okay. The buffeting of the enemy is to keep you grounded out of your seat of authority. The ascension that so many in the Truther movement talk about is just some physical rising. Kind of like the deception of the rapture theory. But I tell you today that ascension is a mindset change. Ascension is a mindset change. Here's what the Lord said to me. Ascension is merely a mindset change. You're seated or you are not. I've already seated you, and you're not trying to obtain your seat, for I have already obtained it for you. The only battlefield is your mind, and I have given you my armor to combat that. This is a mental stance. The buffeting is to kick you out of your seat of authority in me. Never forget, it is yours. It is not his. He's come to steal, kill, destroy, but it's already rightfully yours. I said all things are yours. The devil would try to convince you through your thoughts that you have lost what you had. Quit thinking those nasty, nasty thoughts, because that is couldn't be further from the truth. I don't care if you do miss it. You haven't lost it. That rascal is already defeated, and the only power he has is his illusions. Illusions seem real, but they are not. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Here's what an illusion is. Anything that seems to be something that it is not. A misapprehension. A belief in something that is in fact not true. A magician's trick. All things are yours, but the enemy would come as a roaring lion to convince you otherwise. This getting butthurt over something and having to have days to pout and beat yourself up over it, Get over it. Forgive yourself. It's like you'd forgive anybody. Say, I'm sorry I said that, did that. Would you forgive me? Yes. No problem. Forgive yourself. Go on. It hurts the cause. Hurts the cause. That pause hurts the cause. You step out of the line. Satan wants to engage you mentally so that you won't engage him mentally. That's what the armor of God is. Okay. It's time to grow up. Grow up. We got to grow up. Sometimes we have to grow up fast, especially in the times we live in. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You got to learn to forgive yourself and quit bringing up your past, okay? It's gone. There is no past. It's just, we just move forward. But when you miss it, forgive yourself and just move on. Quit revisiting it. You're wasting time. You're aiding and abetting the enemy when you do that. Because he would like nothing better to keep you beat down. I hope you hear me today. Resist means to stand against, not side in with. Okay. No longer be double-minded about this, but maintain your position. Keep your seat of authority. James talks about that. This man had some insight on this subject. James 1. Y'all know this stuff, but I have to remind you. I have to remind myself. I'm not saying I have it all together, but I'm doing best I can here. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, instead of looking at I didn't get any sleep and I'm hurting and I'm this and I'm that, we could say, well, I'm right over the target. And I'm holding the line. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, and nothing wavering. Just like this morning, I said, Lord, what gives with this fresh attack? And he told me, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Anytime we let this go off, we become double-minded. Walking out of things is not physical. They are mental. When your mind is right, your body will follow. Quit doing stupid fleshly things to try to get something accomplished. It's, like I said, get this right. The other will take care of itself. See, we've been geared as religious people. We do our little rotes. We do our little routines and all these things, and they're sacred to us, but they're not productive. Okay. When your mind is right, your body will follow. So stay out of the flesh, for the flesh is a doorway open to Satan. This is Galatians 5. It tells you that. Galatians 5. Go there. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I'm not going to read it today because you know what it is. It's the armor of God, and it is a mental stand. The loin there, talk about, well, I will read that one. Ephesians 6, about the loin belt. Because it talks specifically about the mind here. Let's see. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the loin? The hip, the procreative power. Procreative power. When I said, this is the Lord speaking here, when I said to the lame man, rise and walk, he had to know in his mind that he could do it. When he knew in his mind that he could, he jumped up and walked. It's not the other way around. I got to drag myself across the floor and try to get up and walk to prove that I'm walking in faith. No, you don't. Stop that silly stuff. That silly stuff. This is what needs to be changed, not this. When this is changed, this will change. When you think you can, you can. When you think you can't, you can't. Just that simple. All right, 1 Timothy 1:19. Is this making a dent this morning? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I'm telling you, all these fleshly works of faith are shipwreck faith. The only time I've ever received anything from the Lord is when it come up out of here. Only time. Only time. It wasn't from saying it 500 times. Shipwreck means stranded. When you walk in the flesh, you get out of the spirit. Stay in the spirit. It is all an inside job to acquire the change in an outward condition. Like God did when he saw the mess. He didn't start trying in the natural to clean it up. No, his spirit hovered over the water. And he spoke by the spirit, light being light was. That's how he created, and that's how we create. There is no other way. If you do this, it will keep you seated. You will rule and reign with him. One more scripture, 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Okay.